a message that I believe that's going to encourage you, inspire you. We live in a world today that simply does not want to encourage you, simply does not want to inspire you. The world, every day it matures and it gets more difficult to find friends, to find someone that'll build you up. And that has even snuck into the church, into where the church becomes a base of criticism, apathy, lack of encouragement. Some people leave churches all the time just simply discouraged. They left worse than when they came in. They were wanting a word, and the word just was like a battering ram to their soul. It didn't help them. And I want to take this time. I spoke this yesterday to several hundred people, and I preached this in an open air auditorium yesterday, and there were more amens than I could count. And people were so excited about that. People told me later that, thank you, Pastor, that was something that really helped me today. And I thought it was really cute because this one lady was there. And I was preaching and she just was going, amen, amen, and amen. And this other lady said, shut up. I can't hear him. And I thought, yeah, all right, I like that, you know. But, you know, it's just how it is sometimes, you know. So I don't want to hear anybody say today, shut up, I can't hear him. Okay. What I like to hear is amens. But God is blessing our church. And what we need to do is we need to fully adhere to what the Lord is trying to say to us. If you'll turn your Bibles over there to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse 7. And I want you to listen very diligently to what is about to be spoken, because I believe it'll help you tremendously in everything that you're going through right now. And, you know, I believe that people go through things in their life that they didn't order. They go through things that they wish they weren't going through, or they feel discouraged at times. And discouragement is very, very difficult to deal with at times. So if you will read with me just in the beginning of this verse, Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So let me say this to you. As you think in your heart, that is what you'll become. As you think in your heart, that is who you are. Doesn't say what you wear to church. It doesn't say where you go to school. Doesn't say where you live. Doesn't say what your parents or who your parents are or what they have accomplished. It's talking about an individual, each individual. As a man thinks, so he is. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. It's an amazing scripture we find here in the wisdom of Proverbs. It speaks so diligently and so directly to our hearts. It should wake us up. It should stop us in our road that we are on in life. And say to us, what am I thinking like right now? What am I becoming? Am I a positive person? Or am I a negative person? Am I a person that just really, really believes what God can do? Or am I just a maybe person? If I see it, then I'll believe it. Am I just somebody that is just kind of there? Is my mind ready to be a person that searches out the good things of the Lord? And or am I a person that just constantly is thinking, and I'm so negative about life that I have become a negative individual? I become a person that maybe others don't want to be around. Or I find myself hearing this scripture and it pierces me. And it simply states, and very boldly, that if I'm thinking some way in my heart, that is who I am and that is what I'll become. The Bible is very clear that there is no gray area here. It doesn't say what you think in your heart you may become or you may be that person. It simply says very clearly, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Your heart really controls your attitude. It controls your outreach to society. It controls your ability to communicate to other people. It controls your countenance, the way you look. It controls the level of friendship that you want to put out there. And as you think in your heart, that is what you'll become. In the world that we live in, there is so much out there that one could think about. So much. You know, when I was writing this message out, I thought, and I was nudged by the Holy Spirit, believe it or not, in the sense that what I'm about to say, the nudging came like, I want you to just tell the people that everything on Facebook isn't positive. There's some real negative stuff out there. People say, I'm going to say something. I don't want anybody to challenge me on this. Okay. You know, and Twitter becomes a statement of 140 characters of someone's brass statement of what they feel is right or wrong. You know, it's amazing to me. And now everybody's going to Instagram so they can do photos or videos and show things. And if you don't put down something very nice, they put down something even less nice than you put down. So it becomes this almost negative response and this negative statements. And not just to bring up Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, but the television is full of negative input. Society is contained in a word called media. And the media dictates on what we want or what they want us to believe or become like. You say, Pastor, where are you going with this message? We'll get there. We'll get there. I'm just getting in the driver's seat. I just turned the engine on and we haven't yet pulled out of the parking place. But in a few moments, I'm going to be preaching. And I just want you to realize that what we feel in our heart, what we think in our heart, takes us to a place of what we become or what we already are. And there are so much competitive personalities that speak negative words that cause negative thoughts, which in turn cause negative responses. I will say this in the early part of this message. Stop being negative if you are negative. Stop hanging around negative people. Just stay away from them, because they are going to tear you apart with their negative statements. I would defriend anybody on Facebook if they were negative all the time. And by the way, I have. I would defriend anyone that was producing erroneous doctrine. And by the way, I have. And with Twitter, I don't read anybody's Twitter that's going to be negative. You know, Instagram, I just put what I cook up there. So how could that be negative? Because my food's great. But in all reality, you know, we can get pulled into it because our humanity likes sometimes to feel negative. Words can build up or tear down one's dreams or hopes. Words can stop a person from ever dreaming at all. Words can bless or they can curse. Some of you have heard me tell this story before in the years that you've listened to me preach, but it's such an important story. I'll never forget sitting in my living room and seeing this dark screen with words starting to come out from just lips speaking. Just a pair of lips. It was kind of weird to see just a pair of lips on a television screen, but these words were stating things like, "You'll never be anything. You're no good. You'll never accomplish anything at all. You are not at all going to ever be successful." And then it drew back. And the lips kept on speaking, but you couldn't hear what they were saying. But you all of a sudden saw, witnessed, learned who this person was speaking. Now, it didn't say it was a parent. It didn't say whether or not it was a guardian or a teacher, but these words were speaking to a 4-year-old girl, speaking negativity and statements that would design that person's life forever. And that's all that person ever knew. Never knew anything positive. Never knew anything that was right. You see, the Bible says in Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. But perverseness, it breaks the spirit. It breaks the spirit. It will tear down and break apart an individual's spirit if they hear the words spoken. You see, words spoken by a person, they can be a tree of life, a word that can cause one to strive for success, to prosper in life. But on the contrary, a word can break one's spirit where there is no life in that person to try to succeed. Think about the man at the gate beautiful in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. And you can turn over there because I'm going to stay there just for a moment. Many walk by just assuming that this is all the man would become or ever be. Just a drop of a coin would sustain him where he is. Why not? This is all he is, a beggar who will never accomplish anything or do anything but beg. But Peter and John had something better to give him. And let me take you now to a story on the streets of Santa Cruz to where I witnessed for about a minute or two, that's all I could take, of a man lying on the street up against a cyclone fence there on the Pacific Mall, because that's where a building had totally broken down because of the earthquake in 1989. And this was in the early 2000s, about 2002, and they had yet to complete the downtown area there. And there he was lying on the ground, and people were walking past him, probably within a minute, 50. Probably within 2 minutes, 100. Walking by him, not even caring who it was. He was lying on the ground, not moving. Face against the cold sidewalk, his back and his head against the cyclone fence. And I couldn't take it. I walked across the street, and the first thing I did was I put my hand on his neck to see if he had a pulse. He had a slight pulse, and I shook him a little bit, and he didn't respond, and I shook him again, and he opened up his eyes. I said, "Sir, let me pick you up." And I carried him across the street and put him on a bench and kept him there and gave him coffee and fed him food to where he was able to stand on his own. And I told him that I was there to protect him from anything that could happen to him. And I began to speak life into his body. You see, let me say this to you, that we cannot just look at life in another person like that's all they'll ever be. Maybe these people walked by. And I'm not saying that I'm a superstar. Please don't think that I am here bragging on my compassion for people. It's God in me. It's the Christ in me that has drawn me to the poor, to care about hurting people. All people. But I act upon what God is speaking to my heart to do. Maybe they walked by him saying, "If he's dead, good. We don't need another person that looks like a beggar alive anyhow. I'm not going to stop. I'm too busy. I've got more things to do." And that's just a bum. That's just somebody that I wish the police would come and just pick up and take away. Maybe it was just somebody that was just, you know, just there. And I just believe that what has to happen there is that we have to stop and we have to care about the people that we love and are concerned about, whether we know them or not. Well, listen to these words. "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb," everybody say his mother's womb, "was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple." Now listen to me. This story simply opens up by saying there was a man who was lame from his mother's womb. He was born that way. Doesn't say that the doctors tried to fix him. He was born that way and he was left that way. I want you to hear my spirit today. I want you to be encouraged today. I want you to be inspired that change can come with God. God can make a difference in anyone's heart or body. Yeah. And someone carried him at the age where he was able to at least beg to this place. And they set him in the same location every day that he would receive alms. And hundreds, yes, thousands per year walked by him. And maybe dropped a coin in his container that he would be able to sustain himself. But no one ever stopped to ask his story. No one ever stopped to find out if they could do more for him. But listen, the society had placed him in a boundary, a title, a definition, and they had confined him to a location where he begged, and then a location at home where he laid down. The only travel time he had was when somebody was carrying him from the gate Beautiful to his house. For his house to the gate Beautiful. He sat all day in the arid heat begging. He entered those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. Now, just because it was Peter and John, I don't want you to think, well, there was a Christian finally came by. There was a lot of people that should have helped him. A lot of people should have reached out to him. But that's not what I'm here to say to make you feel like you need to reach out. I'm here to take you to a place, and we're out of the parking spot now, and we're driving down the road. And I'm about to preach in a moment. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." I'm going to stay there for a moment. When you got something living inside you, and I don't just mean something, I said it that way to get your attention. I'm not talking about the movie The Alien. I'm talking about you got the Holy Ghost living inside you. I'm talking about the love of God living inside you. I'm talking about the power of the Holy Ghost living inside you. You got something that you can say to somebody. You got a gift in you that you can share with someone. You got faith enough to at least try to reach out to someone. He said, "Look at us." They looked like normal people to him, most likely. They were going into the temple. But they had the Holy Ghost. They had the power and the anointing of God living within them. Oh, what has happened to the church today? What has happened to the people that are filled with the power and the anointing of God? What has happened to the look at us scenario when we walk by someone who's in need or is gripped with something in their life that they are bound in fear and they're tormented? I say to some of you today that are in this church, look at me. Look at me. There's a power inside of me that will not stand for what you're going through. I'll fast and pray. I'll seek God's face till you're healed. I'll seek God's face till I get a message or a prophetic word to give to your spirit. Look at me. Know that there's a God who cares and is wanting you to live on in the power and the anointing that He's given you. He has birthed you for a reason, and it's not to be at a gate, not to go from church and home from church and to church and home from church and never bringing change. Someone preach with me today, because I just may run today. I'm not sure. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. You see, that's how people are today. They're expecting to receive something. Something from them. But what people need is not money today. They need the power of God. I don't know what's happened to the Pentecostal church. Oh, there's a spot here and a spot there. But I don't know what's happened to the people filled with the Holy Ghost and power. I mean, every once in a while you need to push your shout button. You need to lift up your amen sign. You need to know that there's a God that's living inside of you that created the heavens and the earth. I'm getting there. I'm not there yet, so bear with me. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you." Then Peter said, "I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." I'd like to say to some people in here today, you may be walking, but I know you're spiritually struggling. I know you feel like you're not growing. I know you don't really know where you're headed, but you know you're going somewhere. I'm here to tell you something. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and become who God has created you to be in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them. Walking, leaping, and praising God. I love that. Amen. I used to go to churches where people walked and leaped and praised God. Now I go to church where people just walk in. Well, someone shout amen. Amen. Walk, leap, and praising God because he was no longer in the same place he was. Amen. There is nothing like deliverance. There is nothing like healing. There is nothing like being free from the burden that you're carrying now as I preach, where it's weighing you down. You can't think. You don't know what to do. You're just groping in the dark, hoping that somebody will come and deliver you from this. I am here to tell you that Jesus is there already. Rise up and walk, leap, shout. Know that the God of our salvation is there and he cares. He cares. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of what we can sing to him, what we can show him by the lifting of our hands. He is worthy. And all the people saw him walking and praising. Now they didn't say leaping, but they saw him walking and praising. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement of what happened to him. Yeah. You see, I'm pretty retro, folks. I don't believe that you got to have an event to get folks to go to church.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Honey, let's just pack our bags right now. Strip the office out because I just got fired. I don't believe that you got to have some super duper celebrity worship team here to get folks to go to church. I just believe you got to show people the Holy Ghost. The fire and the power and the healing deliverance of Jesus Christ, and the churches will fill up. You don't have to have something special going on all the time to keep people. Let's have food every Sunday. You're just going to get a fat congregation. Praise God. You don't need food every Sunday. What you need is Jesus every day.
Amen. Amen.
And to have that, I'm at a stoplight right now, and I apologize for that. I'm about to get down the road where I'm headed, and we're going to end up in this great big arena of a parking lot, and we're going to just drive crazy there for a long time. But we're going to be safe. Amen. I'm at a stoplight right now. You see, positive healing words can bring positive results to anyone who will listen and receive. I'm so sorry, Joanne, that you've been diagnosed with that. For the rest of your life, you're going to be on medication. Sorry. Can I pray for you?
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Well, I know you're going through something that's very difficult in your life right now. God's with you. Call me if you need me. I know you don't have any groceries right now, but if you need some, give me a call. You know, we need to speak healing words into people's lives. We need to say things like, no matter what, this is going to end up good.
Amen.
No matter what it looks like, God is on the throne. No matter how it looks today, tomorrow, the sun is going to rise. No matter what's happening right now, there's an angel behind you protecting you. No matter what's happening right now, the pinions of God's wings are over you. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how it may feel, you have established on a rock and you've got a new song in your heart and he knows where you're headed. And praise God, they will hear the song and they shall be saved. Hallelujah. Amen. Call me when you need me. Listen to me. Proverbs 12 and 18. There is one who speaks like a piercing sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Promotes health. Speak wisdom into people's lives. You see, positive words come from the heart of a positive person. Positive people speak positive things. Who think and know that God can do anything at any time. I'm here to tell you something about the Lord. Can I tell you something about God? He doesn't wear a wristwatch. He's not buying the Apple Watch when it comes out. He doesn't work on our time. He's got his time. And I'm going to tell you something. His time is the perfect time.
Right.
His time is the time that makes it okay for you and I. Now let's go on here. Acts 3, 11 through 16. And then I'm going to preach. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch who was called Solomon's, greatly amazed. You see, they ran towards the anointing, not away from the anointing, because the anointing brought a testimony. Did you just catch that? They ran towards the anointing, because the anointing brought change and the anointing has a testimony. Good stuff. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" I'm going to stop there. You see, there are some people in the ministry today that when God uses them, they want the attention. They write the books. They sell the books and make the money. I was a manager of a Bible bookstore in San Jose, the lead Bible bookstore, as a matter of fact, in the whole corporation, for 3 years. And I used to tell my staff, I said, it's amazing today that we're all going to sell books. I said, you know, the funny thing about it is, they look at me, because they knew what I was going to say, but I wanted to remind them every day that every book written in here was written because someone read the Bible. Amen. Someone read the Bible and built a bunch of sermons, put it in a book, and charged you $14.95. The funniest part was that a man began to criticize some of the greatest preachers in the world today. I won't mention their names because I'm not a name dropper, but they are great men and women of God, excellent men and women of God. If I mentioned their names, you'd go, yes, they are. But this guy wrote a book about how they're taking money from all these all the people in the world. Now, I sold books, so I knew what the prices of the books are. He wrote a book about 175-page book on how they're stealing money from congregations and people in their big auditoriums and their big events that they put on, and they're just taking money, and they're taking money and taking money. You know what he sold his book for? It was a $12.95 book, supposedly. He wanted $24.95. I'll move on. Anyhow, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And in his name, through faith in his name, he made this man strong who you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Jesus wants to touch lives. Jesus wants positive words spoken into people's lives that their lives will change. Not positive words that come from hell, but positive words that come from the Holy Spirit, and that where you will make a decision to believe.
Amen.
To believe to be healed, to believe to be delivered. Any person can just be beaten down by words that have broken the spirit of that person, bringing poverty to the soul and the heart, designing that person to believe that they will never accomplish anything. But that is so far from the truth. You can become something awesome and dynamic, church. By the sound of my voice, if you're listening to me, those that may listen to this across this world on these messages that are posted, let me tell you something right now. Anyone can become anything if you believe in Jesus Christ. If you know that he will bring you out of where you're at into what he wants you to be.
Right.
Believe in your heart and you will become something great. Don't let this world, don't let society push you down. Don't let this neighborhood or neighbors or people around you press you down. You're a child of the living King. You're empowered by what God used to create the heavens and the earth. The Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered. The Spirit of the Lord hovered over everything. And God began to create. Somebody in this house needs to allow the Holy Ghost to begin to hover over their circumstances and over their life, and let God begin to bring change and mercy and love back into the marriage, into the relationship, into what God has caused you to become. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm at the parking lot. You got to know who you are.
That's right.
I'm not just Dennis Adams. I'm a called man of God, filled with the Holy Ghost and power, called to preach the gospel of Jesus. I got sad the other day when I read it was Pastor's Appreciation Week, sent by our movement, which was a great letter, and I'm glad that they sent it. It was a beautiful email, but they gave reasons
why they should appreciate the pastor today. 1,500 ministers quit the ministry every month. Someone began to pour negative words into them. I'm using a building right now to where a church was disbanded because the pastor came one Sunday night to the 35 people that he had been pastoring for a year and a half and said, I will not be here next weekend. I just don't feel like I'm called the pastor. They were crushed. One out of every 10 ministers will retire as a minister. The other 9 will leave the ministry and not retire. Friend, let me tell you something about what it is that to know your identity. Just let me ask you a question. What do you believe in your heart today? What do you believe that's going on in your heart? Let me say something to you today. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. The tongue can destroy you or it can give you life. It can kill you or it can bring you life. What are you speaking to people? What are you saying to people? Let me talk to you about yourself today. Well, Pastor, I got so many negative people around me that I have a hard time being positive. Let me tell you a story about a man that I love in the Bible, a patriarch. I love him. He's so great. Can I preach for a moment? He's so great. 80 years old. 80 years old. He begins to lead a people out of Egypt. 2.5 million people out of Egypt. God takes them a certain way purposely because they were not yet ready to battle. They'd been in slavery for 400 years. He took them to the Red Sea with cliffs on either side. Mountains too high for them to go. The sea is, the waves are just high. And behind them, because God hardened Pharaoh's heart, Pharaoh has just now sent his best of the army, and he was leading it. 25,000 chariots, 45,000 horsemen, 15,000 swordsmen, in shields on foot, coming after 2.5 million people who don't know how to fight if they got into a fight. They had nothing to fight with. They were fat with spoils. And they got to the sea's edge and they saw the dirt, the dust, and they felt the hate in the air. They felt the negativity coming towards them. And that negativity started at the back and began forward till it reached the elders. It reached the leaders up front. And they began to complain to Moses by telling him that we got to go back. We have got to go back to where we were. We've got to go back to the place that is simply where we had meat to eat, and we sat around the campfires at night and we told stories and we had enough for our families. Wait a minute. The negativity started to cloud their mind. They started to remember something that wasn't there. They were beaten. They had lost moisture into the miry clay that was making the bricks. And so it was harder to step it out. Their kids were suffering. Their dads were being beaten by the taskmaster in the arid sun. And they were crying out for deliverance for 400 years. But the negativity. Friend of mine, listen to me. Listen to me. I love you. I'm going to tell you something. Don't let negative people cloud you. Don't let negative people stop you from identifying with who you are in Jesus Christ. Don't let negative people tell you that you cannot make it. I'm here to tell you today that Moses didn't allow those men to vacate. To him, they were complaining to him. He did not allow those men to stop him from doing what he knew was right. He went and raised up the name of Jesus Christ, and he moved forward. Yes, the staff represented the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, and they went from despair and they went from discouragement. They reached the other side of that Red Sea because it opened up. They didn't allow negativity to stop, and all the negativity got to the other side, and it turned into a dance.
Yes.
It turned into a praise.
Yes.
My friend, wherever you are today, if you are in that place, if you are under the weather, if you are under the pressure, if you are under something that is causing you not to live properly in the name of Jesus Christ, and people have put you down, criticized you, told you you're never going to make it, told you you can't get there, told you that in university you shouldn't be in this class, you're a loser, you're no good, you can't ever become that. I know one right in the back room that didn't listen to that, and I watched her graduate in the master's program from San Francisco University, amen, and she got out and she holds a master's today because she didn't listen to a negative professor say she was never going to make it and she was, should not be going into this class. Hallelujah to the Lamb. They danced on the other side. They shouted on the other side. They sung on the other side. They were free from what had held them back. If you are here today and there is something that's pressing you down, I'm going to tell you, you can be free. Move forward. Move forward. Nehemiah, let me just tell this and I'm going to close. Nehemiah was up on a wall. He was building something. God nudged him to go from a cupbearer to a wall builder. From serving a king in another nation that wasn't serving God to serving God in a nation that had been destroyed because they allowed their walls to be torn down because they didn't fight, they didn't obey God, and the walls were torn down. But God sent Nehemiah to rebuild the walls. He was up there rebuilding the walls, and here comes Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem the Arab. And they said, we want to talk to you. Come down here. We got a letter here. We want you to be, stop what you're doing. And he sent to them this word. I'm too busy working for the Lord. I'm too busy rebuilding what needs to be good for my family. I'm too busy building my life back to what it needs to be. I'm too busy doing what God is calling me to do. I'm building up my faith again. So I'm not coming down to talk to you at all. Somebody say to the devil today, I'm tired of what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not coming down. I want to preach all day, but I can't because of the time. But I could. What a great text. What a great word this is here. I believe it's found in Genesis and chapter 18, verse 14. Let me ask you something today, a question that was asked to this patriarch. A question that was awesome. A question that was powerful. He asked Abraham this question when Abraham looked at him like this could never happen. I want you to look at me today. Hear me now. I want you to hear this. hear this question. Wherever you're at, however discouraged you may be, however down you may feel, however pushed back you may have become because of circumstances and situations, is anything too hard for the Lord?
No.
Is anything too hard for the Lord? If you think it's too hard for the Lord, you need to get in a prayer altar today. You need to kneel before God and repent. There is nothing too hard for the Lord.
That's right.
Nothing. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on to the promises that God has given you.
Yes. Amen.
Promises that God has given you. Hold on.
Yes.
What did he say to you? You're going someplace. Then why are you parked? Said you're going to preach. Then why aren't your lips moving? God will fulfill in you. If you're that man at the gate today, I walk by, look at me, look at me, rise. I don't have any money to give you. I don't have any food to give you. You don't need that. I don't have things that you may think that I have that you need. Let me tell you something. What I do have is Jesus Christ. Rise and be free. Rise and be healed. Rise and know that you are a child of the living God, the one who created the heavens and the earth. You are alive in Jesus Christ. Don't think of yourself as someone negative. Think of yourself as someone great. Someone that could climb that mountain, cross that sea, go through that river, go over those walls. The Bible says that he gives us the strength to vault walls. Bible says we're under the pinions of his wings. The Bible says no evil shall befall me and no plague shall come near my dwelling. The Bible says that he is a lifter of my head and a shield about me. Praise God. Today, with all my heart, I say to you this. I want to see you leave this building thinking of how great he is in you and how wonderful he is bringing you into a life that he'll serve you.